Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Learning how to care for some strange animals today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm your host, Garrett, today, and it's great to have you with us. We have a whole new article today. This will be a three-day article, so we'll be with you for a few days here talking all about animals. And I am thankful that I have my dear friend Linda joining me. Hello.
Hi, Garrett. Hi, everyone. It is great to be here, and I'm excited to talk about today's topic.
Yeah. Is this one of your favorite topics on Advanced?
I like it. I can't say it's my favorite, but I do like animals when we talk about animals.
All right. Let's talk about animals a little bit then. What is your experience with them? Did you grow up with pets around the house?
We did have pets. We had a dog. And I can't say that I'm a pet person. But I do like animals. I love observing them. And I love going to the zoo to watch the animals. I even considered a career in zoology.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Zoology, of course, kind of the study of animals and how they work, kind of similar to biology, but really focused on animals.
Yeah, because I was a biology major, and I did do some animal studies, and that's when I thought, oh, should I pursue animal studies and maybe, like, become a zoologist, work in a zoo?
But yeah.
I didn't.
Well, we had a few pets in our house growing up. I am very much not a pet person. I really don't want to have pets. I think, like you said, I don't mind looking at them. I find them very interesting. I just don't want to care for them.
Yeah.
Or have them around the house all the time.
Yeah. A pet is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I admire people who do have pets, and they are great companions. Like, people who have pets love their pets. They treat them like family members. But I've just never been one of those people. I don't know. Maybe if I got a pet, I would turn into one of those people.
It could be. Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a pet that I can look at but don't have to interact with too much.
Fish.
But, yeah, like a fish or something like that. But then in the end, kind of what's the point? I don't know. I think my parents knew this. So as soon as I moved out of the house, they got a dog. I just really hate getting licked for some reason. That is my phobia.
Yeah, I don't like when animals come up to me and rub against me or lick me. But I think because they know I don't like it, they do it. Like, they seek me out. They're just like,
yeah,
I get very close to me.
Experienced the same thing, especially with dogs. Well, we are talking about animals today. We're talking about going to see them, or a place you can go to see them. We're talking about a zoo. And before the program, we were talking a bit about our experience with zoos. Linda, you said you were in a special program growing up.
Yes. So I lived in Miami, very near to the Zoo Miami. Now it's called Zoo Miami, but it went by a different name before. And we would go there often as a family to see the animals. And it's a beautiful zoo. It's huge. I also attended a zoo magnet program. So a magnet program, or a magnet school, is a school that has a specialized curriculum in a particular subject.
Mm-hmm.
So this school was specialized in teaching about zoology, animal studies. And so we got the opportunity to go to the zoo and see what happened behind the scenes, which is great because you don't get to do that when you're just a visitor. So I got to learn a lot more about taking care of animals and just the zoo in general.
That is very interesting. Well, maybe a program like we're going to talk about today would have been interesting to you. We're talking about a special animal care program at a school right around my hometown, actually. This would be the closest zoo to where I grew up, so I'm excited to talk about that today. This article is called Life in the Zoo. Let's jump into it with our first reading.
Life in the Zoo. Caring for wildlife is both a career and a calling. Training for careers with animals. At Moorpark College's Animal Care and Training Program, students get real-world experience at the campus's teaching zoo, home to 120 animals representing 110 species. The zoo draws students from California and beyond who are looking for a career working with animals. The program traces its roots to 1971 when the community college began offering a class in exotic animal studies, expanding to a full-fledged major 3 years later. Students learn on the job, preparing food for the animals, feeding them, weighing them, and even putting on demonstrations for children visiting on school field trips. We do a lot of hands-on training, and to me, it's always magic, said Gary Mui, who graduated from the program in 1995 and now oversees it.
Well, let's talk about it. So we're talking about this interesting animal care and training program that you can find at Moore Park College. It is a very unique program in which students get to learn how to care for these animals. Maybe it's something you don't think about too much when you go to the zoo, but all those animals need really special care.
Yes, they do. And they require a lot of care. So there are people who need to feed them, make sure they are healthy, administer medicine if they need to, maintain their environment, their habitat. So it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, one thing that comes to mind is animals in a zoo are in, or some other kind of animal care facility, are in an environment very different from their natural habitat. And it would be important to be able to kind of catch the clues where these animals are maybe feeling uncomfortable or in some ways just aren't behaving like they normally would. Well, let's talk more about this program. What do we read next about it, Linda?
Okay, so besides students getting real-world or hands-on experience in the zoo, the teaching zoo, we learned that the zoo is home to 120 animals representing 110 different species.
Yeah, so it sounds like maybe there are 10 species that have doubles or something like that. There are 120 animals. And the zoo draws students from California and beyond who are looking for a career working with animals. So we have a couple keys in that sentence. First of all, this is a zoo, so it's a place that cares for animals and people can go and see them kind of for entertainment, but it's also an educational program for students that go there.
Yes, like the main thing is education, and probably for the people visiting as well, the visitors, is to educate them on the animals.
Yeah, and many effective zoos kind of operate in that way. Well, the program traces its roots to 1971, when the community college began offering a class in exotic animal studies, expanding to a full-fledged major 3 years later. So what happened to the program?
So it started off as a class in exotic animal studies. These are animals that are not native, though animals from faraway places or other places. And then the program expanded. So now it is a full-fledged major. So something that is full-fledged is fully developed or fully established. So before it was just a class, but now it is a major that you can major in.
Yeah. Or in other words, once you finish all the required classes, you have a degree in that specific subject. Well, students learn on the job, preparing food for the animals, feeding them, weighing them, and even putting on demonstrations for children visiting on school field trips. It sounds like it would be a lot of fun.
Yes, and the zoo is a major destination for field trips. You always see lots of kids, big groups of kids going to the zoo.
It does sound fun. I don't know that I ever did that growing up. We went to a lot of farms, but I don't remember going to the zoo.
Okay. But I'm sure when you've gone to the zoo, you've seen like hordes of children.
Probably. It's good. No, we want kids to learn about the natural world and about animals. Well, at the end of this section, we have a quote from a former student. Linda, what does he say?
We do a lot of hands-on training, and to me, it's always magic. And this comes from Gary Mui, who graduated in 1995, and now he works there.
Yeah, he oversees it. So he's stuck in that program. He believes in it. And I believe it's time for us to go to our next section.
An appealing challenge. The program admits 60 students annually and about 45 graduate each year. That attrition is a marker for how difficult and time-consuming the program is, said Mara Rodriguez, the zoo's development coordinator. Still, it's popular. 150 or so Moorparks College students apply each year, gaining entry via a lottery. The two-year program prepares graduates for careers in a variety of fields from zookeeping to Hollywood animal training, wildlife conservation, and even pest abatement. At all the landfills now, they use natural ways to deter pests like seagulls and rats, so they fly hawks, said Rodriguez, who graduated from the program in 1992 and started working at the zoo that year.
So in this section, we learn a lot more details about how this program functions. Well, we start off seeing that the program admits 60 students annually. That means they accept that many students out of all the ones that apply, and about 45 graduate each year. So not everyone that starts the program finishes it.
That's correct. And this number or this rate is the attrition. So the number of people who start it is different from the number of people who finish it. And that loss or that decrease in number, that is what we refer to as attrition. So in this case, it's a marker for how difficult and time-consuming the program is. And this comes from the zoo's development coordinator, Mara Rodriguez.
Yeah, they want the students to actually learn, so it's not an easy program. They have a lot they need to do. Well, we do see it is popular, though. 150 or so Moorpark College students apply each year. Remember, we said only 60 are admitted. And so certainly less than half of the people, and they gain entry via a lottery.
Yeah.
What do you mean there?
So it's random, random selection. They probably need to fulfill requirements to apply to the program, but out of the 150 who apply, they're chosen randomly through this lottery.
Yeah, it almost sounds like most of the students who are trying to get into this program already go to the college and are studying other things, but they're trying to see if there might be a chance to transfer into this program. It is a two-year program, and it prepares graduates for careers in a variety of fields, from zookeeping to Hollywood animal training, wildlife conservation, and even pest abatement. Linda, do any of those surprise you?
No, not at all, especially the location of the school. It's outside of Los Angeles.
Near Hollywood.
Yeah, right by Hollywood. So that totally makes sense. And you could probably have a good career in training animals for Hollywood movies.
Yeah, so I grew up in this area. I'm trying to think of how long it would take to drive from there to where a lot of movies are produced. It depends on traffic, mm-hmm. but it's going to be, 45 minutes mm-hmm. at the most. So it definitely is close. And we see another word at the end there that's interesting, pest abatement. What does that big word mean?
Yeah, so this refers to managing or minimizing the number of pests. And it's different from, let's say, pest control, mm-hmm. Because pest control, the target or the goal is to kill all the pests.
Yeah.
But in this case,
get rid of all of them.
Yeah. This case, you do want to reduce the number of pests, but you want to do it in a safer way, a sustainable way, a way that is more animal friendly.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting using natural processes like this to deal with a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about sort of similar things on Advanced before. I remember an article a few years ago, it's not really talking about pests, but overgrowth of like grasses and using goats to take care of it. I found that so interesting.
Yeah, it's a natural way. It helps the environment. It doesn't add any toxins. It like, because like pest control use a lot of poison and things that are toxic, not just to the animals, but also to humans. So if we can do it a natural way, all the better.
It reminds you of maybe some animals that you don't love seeing, but actually help you get rid of way worse animals. Like, I think in the last few years, I've learned to accept that it's okay to have like spiders around because they get rid of much worse things.
Yes, yeah. So I don't kill spiders anymore.
I think I would freak out if there was a really big one around my house, especially if it were very furry.
But no. Yeah,
the little ones are fine. Okay. And at the end here, we have another quote. At all the landfills now, they use natural ways to deter pests like seagulls and rats, so they fly hawks. Deterring pests means to keep them away. You deter them. You especially want to keep them away from all your trash or landfills here, because then the pests will grow. There'll be more of them because there's plenty for them to eat there.
Right. So this is an example of a natural way of pest abatement.
Yeah. Abatement or deterring them. We heard this from Rodriguez, who I think we heard from earlier. Yes. Graduated from the program in 1992 and started working at the zoo that year. And so there are many reasons why a student might want to attend this program. I think on first thought, you might think you graduate from this and then you go and work at a zoo. But really, there are a lot of purposes for caring for these animals and a lot of reasons why they might want to do this. Well, we do have one more section, so it is time for us to go to that now.
Putting on a show. The zoo is open to the public on the weekends, and despite spanning just 5 acres, it features animals like a 102-year-old Galapagos tortoise and 2 Bengal tigers housed in a $3.5 million enclosure. Many of the weekend staffers are students in the program. They even put on animal shows at the zoo's outdoor theater. I'm on stage with my target stick, my equipment, and having a porcupine do circles, follow me, roll a ball, said Jaden Carnicella, 20. It's one of my favorite parts because it's showing off how incredible our animals are. It really is a way to promote conservation.
So like we have said before, this zoo is it's an educational program. Students go there to learn, but it's also a zoo. It is open to the public. Anyone can go there to see these amazing animals they have, but it's only on the weekends.
Right. So I guess it's all for educational purposes during the week, giving the students an opportunity to train, learn how to take care of the animals. But then they open it up to the public on the weekends and they can see how a zoo really works with people, with visitors.
Of course, generally students are in class during the weekdays, so this makes a lot of sense. We see that this zoo spans just 5 acres. That's talking about the total land that it takes up. Based on how they describe it here, that's a lot smaller than a lot of zoos. It's not huge. But it features some interesting animals. Let's talk about some of them.
It does. One of those animals is a 102-year-old Galapagos tortoise. And this species of tortoise is the largest. And they can, as you can see, this one is 102 years old. They can live up to 200 years old, between 100 to 200 years old. So
that
they have a long lifespan. The thing is, there are only about 15,000 of them left in the world.
You know, that is a bigger number than I thought you were going to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would have thought it would be less. I was talking to someone recently about travel and thinking to all the places that my parents have gone kind of before I was around, kind of the adventures they got to go on. And my dad used to tell stories of visiting the Galapagos Islands.
Oh, so he's been there more than once?
I think just once.
Oh, okay.
I think just once. This is a set of islands mm-hmm. off the coast of Ecuador with some pretty incredible animals like these Galapagos tortoise. So I would love to go there someday.
Yeah, so would I.
I don't know if it'll happen. Probably not.
It sounds
kind of
like
far away.
A great place. Yeah, you can see a lot of exotic animals there.
Yeah. Well, we have other animals at the zoo here as well. We also have two Bengal tigers, and they get really specific about where they live here.
Yeah, they're housed in a $3.5 million enclosure. So this enclosure, this habitat, this place is just for, seems like, these tigers.
Yeah. So they invested in that. And actually, if you come back tomorrow, friends, we'll talk a bit more about those tigers and this big investment that the zoo has put into them. Well, many of the weekend staffers are students in the program. So a staffer is someone who works at a place. Of course, during the weekends mm-hmm. is when the zoo is open to the public. And so it sounds like the students are in class during the week and then working at the zoo during the weekend.
Yes. So I guess this counts as a part-time job, but also part
probably.
Of their major, because they probably get credit for it as well.
Yeah, hopefully they get paid.
Yes. Yeah. I am sure they do. And part of their job is to put on animal shows at the zoo's outdoor theater. And you probably, when you visited the zoo, I remember there being an outdoor theater that they do put on shows. I can't remember exactly which animals were used, but there was always a show of some kind.
Well, memory is very fresh in my mind. I got to travel with family to Thailand within the last couple of months. And we went to a zoo with a lot of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very strange.
Mm.
There were elephants marching around with baseball hats on.
Yeah.
There was a man who put his head inside the mouth of a crocodile to show that it wouldn't eat him, and then kind of almost did, along with a bunch of other very strange shows.
Yeah. See, this is where you get into the unethical side of zoos and just using these animals just for entertainment purposes, for the entertainment of humans.
And to make money.
Yeah. And it's not in any way a benefit for the animal, probably to the detriment of the animal. Like, it's dangerous or not healthy for the animal. I don't think they want to be doing that.
You know? Especially if they have to do a lot of these shows mm-hmm. in a day. I imagine it's stressful and tiring and affects a lot of their other behaviors as well. So I don't know how I feel about these. Based on the reputation of the zoo we're talking about today, I imagine they think these things through.
Yes, I think so too. And I think also depends on the location. I have been to zoos. Also went to a zoo in Thailand. And I don't think they have the same standard as they do probably in the States for animal care and safety and just the ethical treatment of animals. But I think here they would.
Yes, I would tend to agree with that. All right, we have one last quote for today. We hear from another student who it sounds like participates in some of these shows. She says, "I'm on stage with my target stick, my equipment, and having a porcupine do circles. Follow me, roll a ball."
Yeah, this is coming from Jaden Carcinella, who's 20 years old. And yeah, a porcupine doing circles, doing tricks. That doesn't sound harmful to the porcupine.
It sounds kind of funny.
Yeah. Sounds cute.
Yeah. I wonder how close you can get, because porcupines are not very big. I feel like it might be hard to see if you're sitting far away. But she also says it's one of my favorite parts because it's showing off how incredible our animals are. It really is a way to promote conservation. And I think that's the point they want to leave us with here today, is that this zoo is not just here for entertainment mm-hmm. or to show that they have very exotic animals, but they have a larger purpose in mind.
Exactly. Yeah. It's to educate. It's to promote. Conservation is to show people these animals are great. They're incredible. You should respect them and you should learn how to conserve them and treat them in a way that's respectful.
Yeah, to treat them well and hopefully really care for these animals so that they can survive. Of course, there are so many animals out there in the wild that are in danger of going extinct or facing other struggles. And so institutions like this try to play a part to protect the natural world. Well, Linda, after we learned a bit more about this program, are you getting ready to sign up?
I don't know. I think maybe I'm past that point, but looking back, it's a route that I could have taken. I actually thought about a career working with animals. It's just that probably what would hold me back is that I don't want to touch the animals, you know?
Like, that might be a problem.
Handle them, per se. I mean, I wouldn't mind leaving food out for them, but I probably would have to handle them in some way. So.
Yeah, or at least be pretty close to them. Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to be a part of this program, but I am questioning why I never went to this zoo growing up. It was incredibly close to where I used to live. Well, what do you think, friends? What do you think of this program? It is a really, really unique one in the U.S. There isn't really anything else like it, and we have more to learn about it. We'll be learning a bit more about some of the facilities at the zoo tomorrow, so you'll need to come back for that. But for right now, that is all the time we have for today. My name is Garrett.
I'm Linda.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.